Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John chapter 10, I would like to read a few verses from verse 11 through verse 16. John chapter 10, verse 11. The Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who serves for wages and who is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. Now he who serves for wages flees because he serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and am known of those that are mine. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Those also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. Welcome. I was given the theme for this time together, and it is pastoral care in the body of Christ. Now, I dare not say that I'm going to teach. What I am trying to do is to just to share with your dear brothers and sisters what the Lord has impressed upon my heart. The more I meditated before the Lord, the more I am impressed of the importance of pastoral care in the body of Christ. I think in the past, probably this matter of pastoral care is not as much publicly recognized as it should be. Only in recent years, you'll find more and more this matter is being appreciated and recognized. Generally speaking, most people appreciate teaching, not pastoring. Teaching is more prominent. Pastoring is more hidden. And yet we find in the scripture, pastor and teacher are one. In other words, teaching without pastoring will lose much of its effectiveness. It is pastoring that makes teaching more personal, more experiential. And I do believe that the Lord wants us to recognize pastoring as much as teaching, because these two are inseparable. They are one. Now this word, pastor, or shepherd. In the New Testament is the Greek word poimen. And it actually means a shepherd, tending the flock, not only feeding them, but really taking care of them in every way. This is a word that is used in the scripture, especially in the New Testament. First of all, it is used physically, that is, it refers to those shepherds of the sheep. Like you'll find in Luke chapter 2, when our Lord Jesus came into this world, you'll find there were shepherds. And they were real shepherds, literally. And they were shepherding real sheep. Now some people think that probably these shepherds are temple shepherds. And they are shepherding those sheep that were to be offered to God. It might very well be. But anyway, you'll find that, first of all, this word, shepherd, is used literally, physically, applying to those shepherds of the sheep. That is the one way of using that word. And secondly, you'll find this word shepherd is used spiritually upon our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the shepherd. Not in a physical way, tending a few sheep in the wilderness, but in a spiritual way. He is shepherding people. Us people. And in John chapter 10, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. Why he is the good shepherd? Because he lays down his life for his sheep. You cannot have a better shepherd than that. He lays down his life for us. And then you find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. In the power of the blood of the eternal covenant. He is the great shepherd. Why? Because through his blood, an eternal covenant, a new covenant, which is an eternal covenant, is being made between God and us. In other words, everything that pertains to our spiritual life is in that new covenant. And that covenant is brought into being through the blood of our Lord Jesus. He cannot be greater. He is the great shepherd. And then thirdly, you'll find it is said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he is the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. One day the chief shepherd shall be manifested. And then he will reward those under shepherds with a crown of everlasting glory. He is the chief. And all the other shepherds are under shepherds. So this word is applied to our Lord Jesus. He is the shepherd. And then thirdly, you'll find this word in the New Testament is also applied to certain people in the church. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. our Lord Jesus, after he has ascended up on high, then he gives gifts to men. And he gives to the church some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now the word pastor there is the same Greek word, pulmon, shepherd. In every other place it is translated in English into shepherds. But this is the only place where the same word is translated pastors. I do not know why. Probably it is just a matter of tradition. But anyway, this is the only time that you'll find this word, shepherd, is translated pastor. So in other words, pastor and shepherd are one and the same thing. Now, so far as this word is applied to God's people, in verb form, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 is the only place in the New Testament. In noun form, in noun, that is the only place. Shepherds or pastors and teachers. And as a matter of fact, you'll find that pastors and teachers or shepherds and teachers are one. They are not two different classes of people. God gave to the church for the perfecting of the saints four classes of people. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors or shepherds and teachers. So you see that they are actually one. Pastors and teachers are one. Teachers are more public, and pastors' work are more private, personal. But actually, they are one. Now, in verb form, you'll find this word is used twice in the New Testament. And once you'll find in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. There you'll find the Apostle Paul in his farewell words to the elders in the church in Ephesus. He told them that God has, the Holy Spirit has set you as overseers of the assembly of God to shepherd the flock of God, which he has purchased with the blood of his own. So here you'll find those elders of the church in Ephesus. They are to shepherd the flock of God. That's their function. And then again you find this is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And Peter, he is writing to his fellow elders and witnesses of the suffering of the Lord. And there he said, you, whom God has chosen, you are to shepherd the flock, exercising overseers over the flock of God. And actually it means be shepherdess. Take upon yourself the character of a shepherd in your relationship with the flock of God. So brothers and sisters, here you'll find, so far as this word is concerned, if it's not applied to the physical, literal shepherds, then it either applies to our Lord Jesus as the shepherd, or it may apply to really two different kinds of people in the church. One is shepherds or pastors and teachers as one of the class of people God has given to the church for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, they are in the area of the work of God. Maybe we call them workers. They are called by God. These men, they are called by God to perfect the saints. So, in this area of the work of God, you find shepherds, pastors, and teachers. And then you find, on the other hand, in the area of the church itself, God put this shepherding upon the elders of the church. Now, brothers and sisters, you'll find in the New Testament these two kinds of people are to be shepherds of the flock of God. And one class belongs to the work, Ephesians 4. The other class belonged to the church, 1 Peter 5. And these are to do the work of shepherding of the flock of God. But strangely, you have in the scripture Paul the apostle, Peter, the apostle. You have in the scripture Philip, the evangelist. But nowhere in the New Testament can you find, say, Timothy, the pastor, or Apollos, the teacher. You don't have it. And you know what the scripture is silent? Men are most vocal. I'm afraid that's always the case. So here you'll find pastor is a function. Pastor is either a person, as in Ephesians chapter 4, pastors and teachers. Or it is a function. The elders function. One of the functions, the main functions of the elders is pastoring. It is never a title. But unfortunately today, it is more a title than anything else. But dear brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that because in the scripture, you find that pastoral care is committed officially, if we may use that word, it is committed officially to some pastors and teachers in the work of God and to all the elders in the church of God. But that doesn't mean that pastoral care is limited just to these two kinds of people. As a matter of fact, pastoral care is a function for all the members of the body of Christ. Being members one of another in the body of Christ, it involves a certain measure of pastoral care. In other words, how can one member does not care for another member? If we are in the body of Christ, if we are members one of another, There is no way for us not to care for one another. It is something built within us. We have to bear one another's burden. We have to care for one another. We have to be concerned for one another. Because in doing that, actually, we are caring for ourselves. We belong to the same body. The strong is to take care of the weak. The old is to take care of the young. The more matured, the more spiritual, is to take care of the less spiritual. Every brother and sister, in a sense, has the function, in a smaller or a larger degree, in this area of pastoral care or shepherding. Now in Galatians chapter 6, we are told, if anyone among you is at fault, those who are spiritual, they are to restore them in the spirit of meekness. In other words, if a person is more spiritual, then he has to take care of the less spiritual. And then immediately following, it says, we have to bear one another's burden, thus to fulfill the law of God, law of Christ. It is the law of love. Now, in the body, you find the law in the body is love. Now, if the law is love, how can you not be concerned with one another? How can you not bear one another's burden? We have to do that. So in a very general way, may we say that every brother and every sister is and should be involved in this matter of pastoral care in the body of Christ. If we leave the pastoral care just to the pastors and teachers and to the elders, you'll find they will work themselves to death, and yet they are not able to take care of everybody. And I think this is something that we need to emphasize. Now, it is true. God does give to the church some shepherds and teachers. This is their work, their commission, and they should do it faithfully. And it is true that those elders in the church, they are supposed to take care of the flock. This is their responsibility, and they should do it. But it doesn't mean that because they are doing it, therefore, all the other people do not need to do anything. And I think this is really a great weakness in the church today. We thank God for these pastors and teachers. The church needs such persons. We thank God for the elders who will shepherd the flock. But brothers and sisters, if we really know the heart of God, I believe that everyone should bear some measure of pastoral care in the body of Christ. And if this is done, then you'll find the body can really grow. It is a good thing, especially for some more advanced in the Lord, more years in the Lord, with more experience in the Lord, even if you do not have any position in the church, any official position in the church, but I do feel that it is a good thing that all those who are a little bit more advanced in the Lord should bear in their heart one or two brothers or sisters. Everyone should have someone upon our hearts. Just like we used to tell people, you know, every believer should have in his or her heart one or two unbelievers. They should bear these people in their heart, pray for them, and pursue them, and until they come to the Lord. Now, this is evangelism. Every brother and sister should have one or two, or if you are able to, more. But at least one. After you are saved, immediately you should take up another one. And this is the way to see the gospel being preached. Now, in the same way, in the body of Christ, we are talking about pastoral care in the body of Christ. So in the body of Christ, we should encourage brothers and sisters to be before the Lord, to have one, at least one, upon his or her heart, and really pray for that person, really look after that person. Sometimes that person is absent, then you visit that person, you call that person, you pursue that person, you bear that person in your heart, and in doing that you find not only that person will be helped, but you will be greatly strengthened. And this is the way that pastoral care should be taken up in the church of God. So we do not want to just limit pastoral care to just these two classes of people. Thank God for them. We appreciate them. But we find that they alone are not able to take care of the flock of God. So more brothers and sisters should be encouraged in this area. Now, why is it pastoral care is so essential in the body of Christ? And I think this is really evident. Why? Because the Bible calls us believers sheep. It is a good term. When you think of a sheep, innocent, pure, meek. Everybody loves a lamb. But that is only one side. There's the other side. You know, of all the domesticated animals, there is none more dumb, more ignorant than sheep. God's people are sheep. That's what the Bible says. You know, sometimes we think of God's people only partially, in a good way, and we should. They are so lovely, so ignorant, so innocent. And we often say all the trouble in the church is with the leaders. The people are sheep. No problem. But that is only one side. There is other side. The sheep are really too dumb. Too ignorant. They cannot distinguish between the nutritious and the poisonous. You know, that's the reason why the sheep needs a shepherd. Because if you just let the sheep go, they will eat anything. They don't know that this grass, this herb is poisonous or this is good for them. They don't know. They cannot distinguish. And that's where you find among the people of God. Unfortunately. I mean, the more you are among God's people, forgive me to say that, the more you begin to realize how dumb. Sometimes you almost want to give up. You think they should know, but they don't. Now, do you blame them? Well, that's what they are. You cannot blame them. That's what they are. They are sheep. They need shepherds. They need people who can help them to find the pastures, to keep them from that which is poisonous, and enable them to absorb those that which are nutritious. Sheep need shepherding. You cannot just let them go by themselves. And you find sheep are not only ignorant, but if a sheep gets lost, it will never find its way back. They don't have the horse sense. They are not like the dogs or even the cat. If a sheep gets lost, you have to go and find the sheep. The sheep will never be able to get back. And that's why a sheep needs shepherd. Now remember, God's people are sheep. If they get lost, you cannot wait at home until they come back. They will never come back. You have to go and find them. And not only that, but you know, sheep are defenseless. If they get into a thorn bush, they are not able to get out of it. They cannot extricate themselves. And they are absolutely defenseless before the wolves and the bears or the lions. They are the most defenseless animals. The goats have some horns, but the sheep have none. They are not able to defend themselves. They need to be protected. So if you really know the sheep, it almost seems as if the shepherd has to take care of everything for the sheep. Almost like that. And remember, these sheep are God's people. That's what you are dealing with. You know, we need to know what we are taking care of. Oftentimes we expect too much of our brothers and sisters. Oftentimes we get discouraged. Oftentimes we blame them. Now, I think there is a something to it, but on the other hand, we who are shepherding the flock, we have to know, basically, we have to have an understanding of the sheep. That is what we are dealing with. We are dealing with God's people who are sheep. They are so lovely. And yet, you have to take care of them. So that's why pastoral care in the body of Christ is so essential. You know, among God's people, you'll find there are extremes. And extremes is natural. we are all naturally extremist. Do not think you are balanced. Not until the Lord balances you. Some people go to one extreme and said, well, I don't need anybody, any pastoral care. Just the Lord and I. That's all. It seems as if they do not belong to the flock. They are the flock. One sheep. The flock. That's one extreme. And then you'll find people go to the other extreme. Well, because God's people are sheep, they need to be taken care of. All right. Let us organize. Let us plan. Let us arrange. So, artificially, we arrange people to be their shepherds. Or put some sheep under some shepherd, put some shepherd under some super shepherd, and so on and so forth. And you'll find these shepherds begin to feel, well, the sheep are dumb, the sheep are ignorant, the sheep cannot do anything, so he will do everything for the sheep. All you need to do is to listen to me. That is another extreme. And we need to strike the balance. On the one hand, we do see the need of pastoral care in the body of Christ. It's a tremendous need. We pray that God will raise up many, many people who are able to function in this way. Because many teachings are lost. You know, some people appreciate teaching, you know. Someone standing before you and teach, and you remember them. But actually, teaching is general. Unless there's pastoral care, most of the teaching will be lost. So we do see the need of pastoral care in the body of Christ. But we need to be careful lest we go into the other extreme, making it a human institution. We institutionalize the shepherding, the pastoring. So I think there is one basic principle in the scripture that we need to understand concerning this matter of pastoral care in the body of Christ. It is very simple. And it is in John chapter 10, verse 16. The Lord said, one flock, one shepherd. Now that is the basic of the basic principles of pastoral care in the body of Christ. One flock, one shepherd. There is only one flock. The Lord said there are some sheep not in this fold. And when he was speaking, of course he referred to Judaism. Judaism as a religion is like a fold. And there are people in Judaism. And the Lord has got some sheep from that fold. And the Lord said, yet there are other sheep that are not in this fold. I have to find them. And that refers to the Gentiles. There are Gentiles. There are in another fold, the fold of the Gentiles. And the Lord will bring some out of them. And then out of the Jews, out of the Gentiles, out of Judaism, and out of heathenism, God will bring these into one flock. many folds, but only one flock. At the time of the Lord, there are only two folds, Judaism and heathenism. But today, we have many, many, many more folds. But remember, there's only one flock. Why is it so? Because you find it is so easy to consider those who are under your care as your flock. You often hear people to say, my flock. Now, whose flock? Theirs or the Lord's? These sheep do not belong to you. They belong to the Lord. The Lord has purchased them with His precious blood. It is His property. It is not your possession. But you know, as in 1 Peter 5, the exhortation of Peter to these elders who are to shepherd the flock, and say, now do not think that they are your private possession. Do not lord over them as if they are your private possession. No, they are the Lord's property. Now, if we can recognize this, that all the sheep belongs to the Lord, and all the sheep are one flock, you do not have many flocks. You may have many folds, unfortunately, but there's only one flock. And that shows us that we who are the Lord's, we are one. We cannot be divided. The oneness of the body of Christ is again expressed in the one flock. And I think this is a basic understanding we have to have. That there is only one flock, and this flock belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to us. God may give us the burden to take care of them, but never look at them as if they belong to us, as our personal, private property. One flock. And then one shepherd. How many shepherds are there? One shepherd. And this one shepherd is none other but the Lord Himself. In other words, God does give to the church some shepherds, some pastors, and God does raise up the elders to shepherd the flock, and God does give the burden for one another in us. And yet we have to remember that in spite of all these, there is only one shepherd. Now, how can that be? It simply means when you are shepherding, it is not you who are shepherding. It is the one shepherd shepherding within you and through you. Put it in another way. There is no one who can shepherd anybody else. Souls are too precious to the Lord to be committed to anybody else. Brothers and sisters, I hope you can see this. Souls are so precious. God will not commit a soul to another one, lest you destroy it. He pays such a price for that soul. He has such hope for that soul. He has destined that soul to such glory. Do you think he will commit any soul to anybody else? No. One shepherd. Now, it is true, he does use people in this work of shepherding. But we always must remember, when we are doing shepherding, it is not we who shepherd, it is the Lord who shepherds. And I think if we remember this, this will keep us away from all those errors, mistakes, tragedies that happen in the church today. Because you dare not do anything on your own. You have to be before the Lord and see if it is the Lord who is doing it. Now, brothers and sisters, in spiritual thing, this principle is basic. In other words, it is not only in the matter of shepherding, it is matter in the matter of teaching, in the matter of anything. Anything that is concerned with the work of God, anything that is concerned with spiritual things, anything that is concerned with soul, you find God reserves the right to himself. And because of this, brothers and sisters, how we need the working of the cross in our lives. You know, the tragedy in shepherding is you begin to think that the flock is yours and you begin to shepherd them according to your thought. Maybe the best, but it's yours. And that's where all the tragedies happen. How we need to do it with fear and trembling. How we need a cross to work in our lives. That we dare not touch anybody with the hand of the flesh. And brothers and sisters, when the Lord, the one shepherd, is able to shepherd through you, then you'll find the sheep is blessed. One flock, one shepherd. This is the basic principle in the pastoral care in the body of Christ. Now, of course, in this matter of shepherding, one thing is very important, and that is relationship. There must, a relationship must be developed between the shepherd and the sheep. Between the one who is pastoring and the one who is receiving the care. You have to build up a relationship. You know, in John chapter 10, the Lord said, he is the shepherd. And he knows his sheep by names. It is not an official relationship. It is a real relationship. The Lord knows every sheep by name. And name here doesn't mean just an appellation. It means an identification. In other words, the Lord knows everyone. Not superficially, but really. It is very strange when you read the Bible, you find that in the Bible, the names are really wonderful. You know? For instance, Jacob. That name is really representative of that person. You know, and the Bible uses that name. And then he is transformed into Israel. Another identification, a new identification, because a new person in the Lord. Names are very wonderful in the Bible. Now, unfortunately, today you find names almost means nothing, doesn't represent that person. It does not identify that person. But in the old days, it does. Either it is the hope of the parents when they give the name, you know, or either something is being seen in that person, so a name is given, you know, or a name is given when the grace of God comes upon that person and transform him. Name is an identification. And the Lord knows every sheep by name. If he has 100 sheep, he has 100 names for 100 sheep. He has a name for every one of us. It may not be the name you have, but he has a name for you. And that name really identifies you. Your name today does not identify you. But the Lord calls you by name, and that name identifies you. He knows exactly who you are, where you are, and he knows exactly what his grace can bring you to. What he is to accomplish in you. How he is to be glorified in you. That's the name. And the shepherd, our Lord, knows every name. Therefore, you'll find that anyone who is going to be involved in some measure of pastoral care, the first thing to do is you have to establish a relationship. You cannot just counsel anyone who does not know. Whom do you do not know? You know, some people have some pet doctrine or pet counseling. And whoever comes, it is the same word. You know, it is as if it is a medicine for every disease. Cure for all. It doesn't work that way. Spiritually, you know, everyone is living. Everyone is different. Every sheep is different. And you know to know everyone before you're able to really help. You know, otherwise your help is superficial because you really don't know them. So first of all, you find that whoever is doing this pastoral work has to know the sheep by names. It takes time. It is a patient work. But you have to do that. You know, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, it says, now, you have to be well acquainted with appearance of the flock and know well your herds. You have to know them. A relationship has to be established. And then out of the relationship, a trust. A trust. You cannot care for anyone who does not trust you. And you cannot care anyone whom you do not trust. If you have already given up that person, you will no longer take care of that person. You think he is good for nothing. He will never, never improve. There must be a mutual trust. And this mutual trust is built up gradually. You know, David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, we are all familiar with that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But here you'll find David, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he means that I put myself under his care. I trust him. If a sheep does not trust a shepherd, the shepherd cannot do anything. He will not listen to the voice of the shepherd. He will go his own way. So, out of a relationship, a kind of trust, mutual trust, has to be there. For pastoral care to be effective. Now, we will go into this more as to what is really pastoral care, God willing, tomorrow. But to conclude, I would like to illustrate it. You know, when we think of pastoral care, I think in the Old Testament, there's one person that stands out, Moses. Now, Moses, for the first 40 years, he was brought up in the palace in Egypt. He was trained to be a king. By his training, he was qualified to be the king of Egypt. But somehow he felt in his heart for his own brethren. The seed was there. In other words, he felt a calling towards his brethren. He was concerned about their conditions. So when he was 40, he went out to see their conditions. And you know the story, how he killed an Egyptian, and the next day he went out, and how he tried to make peace between two Hebrews, because he was mighty in words and in deeds. That was his training. He was trained to be king. But it didn't work. To rule over Egypt was all right. But to shepherd God's people, he was not qualified. And God took him away to the wilderness for 40 years to keep some sheep. You know why? Because God's idea is shepherd king or king shepherd. And in 40 years, Moses was trained and qualified to be king. But he was not a shepherd. His hand was too heavy. He was too eloquent. He was too confident of himself. And God took him away for another 40 years in the wilderness, and there to tend some sheep. And after 40 years, God created in him a shepherd's heart. He learned a lot during those 40 years. He learned about God. He learned of himself. He learned of the sheep. You know, when he was in Egypt, he neither knew God, nor knew himself, nor knew the children of Israel. He thought the children of Israel were surely appreciated. They should know, but they don't. They are sheep. Dumb. And he didn't even know himself. And surely he didn't know God enough. So then another 40 years you'll find that God allowed him to go through this most humbling, humiliating experience until his eloquence was gone. His might was gone. He was no longer confident of himself. But he began to know God. He began to know himself. He began to know the sheep. And then God sent him back. And then for 40 years, brothers and sisters, if you read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, during those 40 years, what you see in Moses is a shepherd king. On the one hand, you'll find he was most capable. But on the other hand, you'll find a shepherd's heart there. And this came out again and again and again. You know, he led the people to Mount Sinai, and he went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel, on the plain, they built a golden calf and worshipped that golden calf. They broke the law of God, and Moses came down and saw that the people had gone astray so quickly. He had to deal quite drastically with them. He burned the golden calf, scattered it upon the water, and asked the people to drink of it. In other words, they had to drink their own sins. And then you'll find he called, who is on the Lord's side. He stood at the gate of the tent because the gate was polluted. The camp was polluted. So he stood at the gate and called, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites came. They were as sinful as the other people, but they repented. They came, they joined him. And they had to go into the camp and slew everyone they met, whoever that one might be. Might be his brother, might be his neighbor. Drastically dealt with. But then you'll find Moses went to God and there pleaded with God. Forgive them. If you do not, blot me out of the book. Now, that's a shepherd's heart. He was very strong before the people because he stood for God. But he was so humble, lowly before God because he identified himself with the sheep, with the people. Now that is shepherd king. And then if you read on, you'll find again and again this happened. This happened in Numbers chapter 11. You'll find the people, you know, after they left Mount Sinai and they began to journey towards the promised land, and they tempted the Lord 10 times, and they refused to believe in the Lord. They didn't believe in the Lord. They didn't want to go into the promised land. They want to go back to Egypt. And at that time, before God said, I will destroy these people. I will destroy them and make you a great nation. Now, what did Moses do? He pleaded with God and said, now, God, this is your people. You have brought them out with a mighty hand. And everybody knew about it. Now, if you destroy them, then people will say you are not able to bring them in. Therefore, you destroy them. Where will be your honor? And God listened to him. Now, brothers and sisters, the children of Israel, look at the children of Israel. They are really sheep.
perverted, stubborn, no understanding, rebellious, a tiny little thing, and they rebel. And they blame Moses. They murmured against him. They want to stone him. They forgot what he did for them. Now, if God was provoked, certainly Moses was more than provoked. But God said to him, take them in your arms. Carry them. Moses said, I didn't bring them out. But God said, carry them in your arms. And Moses did. He was the meekest of all men. Now, brothers and sisters, this is an example of pastoral care in the body of Christ. Do not think that pastoral care is something glorious. It is easy to give birth, but to bring that soul to maturity is the hardest thing to do. But thank God, because the Lord is the shepherd. And because He is the shepherd, He shares His heart with His people and wants His people to join with Him in the shepherding work. But always remember, one flock, one shepherd. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee because Thou dost show us that Thy Son, our Lord Jesus, is the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. And Lord, we do thank Thee that Thou hast put this burden upon Thy people in the body of Christ to join with Thee, to be vessels in Thy hand for this pastoral care, because Thou dost care for Thy sheep. Oh Father, we ask that Thou will give us the shepherd's heart. We pray that Christ the Shepherd may so fill us that we be able to do this work of shepherding among Thy people. Lord, do not allow us to be so bold as to think we can do it. But Lord, we pray that we may give ourselves to Thee, and not for our sake, but for Thy sake. Lord, we are willing to be used by Thee in this way. Oh, raise up more brothers and sisters who are able to care for Thy people. Thy people are like sheep without shepherd, scattered, harassed. O Lord, Thy heart must be heard crying out. Do let us hear Thy cry. Lord, even though this is a most unappreciative hard function. And yet, Lord, if it is thy will, if it pleases thee, Lord, we are willing. So here we just offer ourselves to thee and pray that we will consider it a great honor if thou should put this burden upon us. But Lord, do not allow us to be presumptuous. Lord, keep us very humble before thee. And Lord, who is competent? Our competency comes from thee. So we just commit ourselves and commit this whole matter of pastoral care in the body of Christ into thy hands, and pray that in this very short time we are together, thou will bring us into the reality of pastoral care, that thy body may be built up to the praise of thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.